It's good to be with you this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 this morning, if you would, please. I'm going to take another aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the forsaken Christ last week. But I want us to look at a different aspect this morning, the rejected Christ. And I want to show you some things about the Lord Jesus Christ that you've read over and over, no doubt. But I'd like to point some things out to you here as well. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 53. If you'll just flip over there a moment, please. Just one verse there. I know there's a lot of verses that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 53. But I just want to point out one particular verse here for you this morning. Isaiah 53 and down in verse 3 this morning. It says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Father, thank you for your Son, and thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, as we have a look at the Lord Jesus Christ from a different aspect of the word of God this morning, I pray, Lord, how much more we would appreciate the one who came and died in our place, took our punishment and our judgment for us. For those who are listening and watching today, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to every heart. Perchance there is one that does not know you as their own personal Saviour. I pray that this might be the day that they would bow and ask, Lord, for your forgiveness and ask you, Lord, for the free gift of eternal life. Speak to hearts and bless our time in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The rejected Christ, he was certainly resented as we read through the Gospels, as he travelled about doing his ministry. He was resented. We know that some places he was accepted. We know that there was a great following, multitudes followed him everywhere. But he was resented and he was resisted and he was certainly rejected. And as we look at John chapter 15 this morning, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was God in human flesh, he was also human. And as he went about doing his ministry, we can look at the way that the people, particularly the religious leaders, the academics and the learned, intelligent intellectuals treated the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked down upon him and they shunned him. And look over here in John chapter 15. John 15, and look down here with me in verse 23. John 15, verse 23. Jesus said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had done among them the works which another other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. This cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So not only in the book of Isaiah, but elsewhere, there were many, many prophecies written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that he would be despised and rejected, but also the fact that he would be hated without a cause. And yet when you see the Lord Jesus Christ going about doing all that he did, you would think they would have loved him more and more. But as we find out towards the end of his life, particularly the last week of his life, last few days of his life, the tide began to turn where people were really exposed for what they really were. One moment they're crying out to crown him as king, the next minute they're wanting him crucified on a cross. So yes, he was resented, and he was resisted, and he was rejected. A lot of this was fomented by the intellectuals, the religious leaders, the lawyers, and those people that were against what Jesus Christ stood for. I think of the Sadducees. Somebody said they didn't believe in life after death, they didn't believe in angels, and that's why they're sad, you see, because they don't believe the things that we believe. So turn in your Bible, if you would, please, in Matthew chapter 10. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, hey, they hate me, they'll hate my Father also. But not only that, he said, you know what, they're going to hate you as well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected of men. He was resented, resisted and rejected. And so don't be surprised if they reject you. Don't be surprised if they resist you or even resent you. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that this was the way it was going to be. Don't be surprised if they hate you, for they hate me. And they hated him without a cause. Over in Matthew chapter 10 we're in. Matthew chapter 10. Let's see this where the Lord Jesus Christ talks about him being hated. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Yes, they hated him, that's for sure. We can see that here in these few verses. They'll even call him Beelzebub, or getting his power from Beelzebub. We'll look at that in a moment. But look at John chapter 15 and verse 18. You know, it's a terrible feeling to be hated. And people will turn on you, they will despise you, they will hate you. You know, even if you do the right thing and stand for what's right, it's a terrible feeling to know that people hate you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was hated. He said, don't be surprised if you are hated, because if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they hate my Father, they're going to hate you as well. So John chapter 15 and verse 18. John 15 and verse 18. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We think about our young people in our country here today and all the bickering and all the insulting that goes on and all the bullying that goes on, and, you know, so many young people experience this hatred because they're not accepted into the group. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what it felt like to be hated, because as he walked this earth and he did good for so many people, there were those in the background that despised him, that hated him, and ultimately wanted to see him destroyed. And he walked about knowing there were people that despised him, people that hated him, people who tried to back him into a corner. Just as I said before, over there, they said that he was empowered by Satan, that he was on the devil's payroll. Let's look over at Matthew 13, firstly. Matthew chapter 13. The Lord Jesus Christ says that they were offended at him. In Matthew chapter 13, down in verse 54. Matthew 13, verse 54. And when he was coming to his own country, I mean, this is Galilee, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter? Is not his mother Mary, called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? You know, John the Baptist was trained in the wilderness for 30 years before his showing to Israel. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was shown to his people at the age of 30. And all of a sudden, the people from Nazareth said, where did all this come from? You know, how does he know all this? He was God. At the age of 12, he went up there to Jerusalem, you remember, at the feast, and he was missing. Joseph and Mary says, where's Joseph? He's missing. And is he amongst the crowd, you know, that are travelling with us? No, he's not there. We better go back and find him. And they went back there. And where was Jesus? He was in the temple. What was he doing? He was talking with the educated, intellectual teachers and leaders. And there were questions and answers coming back and forth. And he was amazing them with his knowledge. But then, of course, he went back to Nazareth and was subject to Joseph and Mary. And then he wasn't revealed until he was 30 years of age. He learned to be a carpenter just like Joseph. And then when he appears in the synagogue, they were amazed. They were astonished. Where did all this come from? You know, whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honour, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Remember last week I said, you think a hometown boy would have been looked upon as a hero? Not this boy. As a man here, he was rejected by his own people, by his own folks, by his own townspeople. And he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They were offended at him, the Bible says. Think about that. Go over to the book of Mark, please. You know, we'll be in offense too if we go out and share the gospel and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. People will be offended. The Bible tells us that the gospel is an offence. We don't go out of our way to cause offence, but we know automatically that the gospel is an offence. Mark chapter 6 If you'll look there with me, please, Mark 6, verse 3 through 6. Same thing as what we read over there in Matthew. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And again, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honour, save in his own country and amongst his own people. And so they rejected at him. They rejected him, rather. They marvelled. And they wondered and they were amazed and they were astonished at this one called the Lord Jesus Christ. They were offended at him. Go to John chapter 1. This goes along with what it says there in the book of John. I mean, he's God in human flesh. We see that. The Word was God. In verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him them power, exousios, authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yet his own people received him not, wanted nothing to do with him. But then we'll go down to what I said before, Matthew 12, how the insults, the accusations and that were made against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not people that preach on feelings and emotions, but let's face it, we do have feelings, we do have emotions. And we'll read through the scriptures here that people were offended at Jesus. But look here in Matthew chapter 12. We ask the question, how do you think he feels when he cops this stuff from the crowd? Well, he was God in human flesh and he did have feelings, he did have emotions. We know that he got hungry, he got thirsty, he got tired. We know that he grieved, we know that he cried. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, John 11:35. But look here in Matthew chapter 12, down in verse 23, Matthew 12 and verse 23. I want to try and cram all this in so you can have a look at all these different aspects and what they accused the Lord Jesus Christ of. And it helps to have us a greater appreciation of what he put up with and what he went through there that came from human beings. Matthew chapter 12, verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He gets his power from Satan to cast out these demons. I just love the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to that, Alan. What did he say? Well, you know what? If Satan divides Satan, his house is going to fall. His kingdom's going to fall. I mean, they were so stupid to make a statement like that. And the Lord Jesus came back and said, well, you know what? Look at this. If Satan's divided against himself, his kingdom's going to fall apart. But nevertheless, the accusation was made. He cast out devils by the power of Satan. And so that was a real insult. He works for the devil. But also going along with that, Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. If you look at down verse 21 there, Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3 and in verse 21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now, when you look at this verse here, you'd say, what in the world does that mean? Well, this phrase here, beside himself, is translated a number of ways within the New Testament. And one of the words that's used is bewitched. If you put that into the context of what we're looking at here, where they said he is beside himself, saying, you know what, he's crazy. Not only that, he's been bewitched, or he is bewitched. They're saying he's under the power of Satan, he's been bewitched. No wonder he is astonishing, no wonder he is amazing, because he is bewitched. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says there in verse 23, and they said, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? So the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he was offended at them and they were offended at him because they had insulted him and they had told him that, you know, he was empowered by Satan to do the work of God. And actually it was, they reckoned the power of Satan. You know, I remember back years ago, there was a group of people in our own country that used to have all these services to cast out all these demons. Just recently, a few years ago, This is what they said with the holy laughter stuff that was going on in those days. Rodney Howard Brown and his ilk, they were saying, you know what, 5 years ago we were trying to cast the devil out of people, and in actual fact we've just come to the realisation we were trying to cast the Holy Spirit out of them. You never heard that? That is total blasphemy, mate. And so you can just see these sort of people that throw these sort of accusations at the Lord Jesus Christ, they were offended at him, but I'm sure he was also offended. It said, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself. He's bewitched. These are his friends. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. That's why he's bewitched, because he's under the power of Satan. Well, of course, that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was insulted with all these weird, crazy accusations. But then if you'll also follow through with this in Luke chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is again back in his own part of the country. And in Luke chapter 4, if you jump down to verse 28 and verse 30 here, it says, and all they in the synagogue, not just some of them, but all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And the Bible says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, kicked him out of town, says, go, leave, we don't want you here, go, we don't want you back. And led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were willing to throw him off the hill, throw him down the cliff, over the mountainside. But the Bible says down here that he passed by out of the midst of them, or through the midst of them. So they had a hatred for him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. And these were his hometown folk. Said he's empowered by Satan. He was rejected. He was ejected. He was thrust out of the city. They wanted to cast him off the hill. And, you know, as you look at all of this here, one thing you find out about this, and I've said this for years, when somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is and does what he does, they were jealous of him. And so because they were jealous of him, the outcome was hatred. And out of the hatred came the desire to kill. I shared that with the kids this week. Hatred is a terrible thing. Pride is a terrible thing. Out of pride can come hatred, and out of that can come anger, to the point where you want to kill somebody. And so they were making these accusations at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what I told the kids as I preached and taught in the public schools? I said, you know, they hated Jesus. You know why they hated Jesus? Because he showed them up for what they really were. They were duds, they were fakes, they were counterfeits. When they accused Jesus of healing on the Sabbath day, he said, well, basically, I do this by the power of God. He said, you know, is it easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? Well, the easiest thing to say would be, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they say he was committing blasphemy. But he would say, well, you know, it's easier to say that than to say, take up thy bed and walk, because you can see the result of what he said. The man rose up and walked. You can't see a person's sin forgiven, but there was the evidence he had the power to forgive sins because the man rose up and walked. They could not do that. They could say, also, thy sins be forgiven. And I heard one of these preachers say, we don't have to ask people to come down to the altar anymore and ask them to accept Christ as their saviour. All we've got to do is wave over the crowd now and say, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's that same holy laughter crowd. You know, and they think, boy, we're really down on these people. No, we want the word of God to be preached. We want the truth to be preached. We want error to be exposed. And so as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he was insulted by them. He was accused by them. He was abused by them. They rejected him. Look over here in Matthew chapter 8, please. I found out a long time ago, if somebody doesn't like you, or they hate you, they'll spread all sorts of lies and rumours about you. I see that on the horizon in our own country now. I see people being attacked because of jealousy amongst their peers, and that has led to hatred and false accusation. And so that's happening in our society, even amongst our young people. There'll be young people who'll get a set on some of these other young people, because sometimes the kids are smarter than them, Sometimes they're more athletic and they can do things that they can't do, and so they'll start telling lies about them. That's the world that we live in. The Lord Jesus Christ put up with all this sort of stuff. But look on down, if you would please, me into Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 33. Matthew 8, verse 33. And this is where the Lord Jesus Christ had cast the demons out of the swine, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen the possessed of the devils. Verse 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And they weren't out there to celebrate and rejoice over the fact that this man had been delivered from the power of demonic power, as you read here, or the power of Satan. They were not rejoicing over this man's deliverance, but they were mourning the loss of their swine. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Get lost. We don't want you here. We don't want your kind around here. You're just disrupting things. Go. Don't come back. So, yes, they thrust the Lord Jesus Christ out. They said, go. Leave. Don't come back. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. How are we going for time? Luke chapter 11. If you jump down to Luke chapter 11 with me, please, verse 53. Luke 11, verse 53. As he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him, seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him, laying a trap for him. Look at this. Here they were provoking him, trying to get him to say something that they might catch his words and be able to falsely accuse him, to trap him. That's pretty low life to do stuff like that. But then look also in Luke chapter 20. They went further than that. Luke chapter 20. Go down to Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 20. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which, watch this, should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him under the power and the authority of the governor. They're going to fake themselves as followers, as believers, as disciples. What for? That they might take hold of his words, that they might deliver him unto the governor, the power and the authority of the governor. Low-life people do things like that. Verse 25. And he said unto them, render unto Caesar therefore the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Why did he say that? Well, they came with a coin and said, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar? And if he said, no, gotcha. We'll report him to the Romans. So they're out to trap him. I like his answer. The Lord Jesus Christ, they said, is it lawful to give unto Caesar? But it says in verse 23, he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? So you know what? He put it back on them. He said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he was provoked by these people. Look at verse 26 there. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marvelled at his answer and held their peace. They tried to trap him. They plotted and schemed and spied on him. Could you imagine being spied on? Well, Jesus was spied on. There were times back in the history of Russia, it's even going on in China and North Korea, Cuba, other places today, that believers are being spied on. And they are being reported. And churches are being closed down. And even in Africa today, there are Christian churches being burned down. People are being killed and massacred because, you know, people have been spying on them. Even in our own country, I believe we are being spied on. How do you know that? We only got to look at the legislation that's being thrown at us from every direction, and you know somebody is saying something, getting in somebody's ear saying, we need to control these people, we need to get in there and, you know, try and take away their freedom of speech. We need to make it so that they're not as outspoken. They want to silence us. All right, John chapter 9. The Lord Jesus Christ has healed the blind man. Interesting chapter 9 to read through this, and I won't read all of it, but have a look at verse 16 here. John 9, verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God." The blind man's been healed. "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. I've got a message that I preach, how that Jesus brought division. It's a great series of scriptures that show you the division that Jesus brought. And there was a division here amongst them. Some saying, "Well, he's nothing but a sinner." And they're saying, "Well, hang on a minute. If he's such a sinner, how come he can do all these things? How can God be with him if he's a sinner?" Sometimes the intellectuals look at common people and think they're stupid, when in actual fact, the common people sometimes are smarter than the intellectuals. Guess what? The common people were able to join the dots together, saying, you know, this is the Christ. This is the one that fulfills the scriptures that they've been teaching us, but they can't even see it. They didn't want to see it. Okay, that means they'd have to give up some things in order to believe it. Look over here in verse 24. Then called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." The blind man said, "Well, you know, whether he be a sinner or no, I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. The devil didn't give me my sight." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was accused of being a sinner. He was not God. He's nothing but a sinner. And then, of course, John chapter 5, they sought to slay him. Hatred. They wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the road. So that's one of the things that young people are saying to other young people today. They reject young people. They don't like them. Say, "Why don't you just go and kill yourself?" And that's a crazy thing to tell somebody to do. I've been on the crossings there in Mackay and Townsville giving out gospel leaflets. I've had young people tell me, "Oh, when I'm 25, I'm going to check out. There's nothing for me in life." And you've got to bring them back to reality. Well, there's an eternity once you die. And you better make sure that you're saved before you die, because you're going to regret dying not knowing Jesus Christ. You'll have an eternity to live without God, and you'll be punished and tormented throughout all of eternity. All right, so they sought to slay him. John chapter 5, verse 16. John 5 and verse 16. John 5 and verse 16. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." I pointed out to the kids this week and I said, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ came back to these people and they said, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ said on the Sabbath day, he said, you know, the priests profane the Sabbath. He said, "Did you know you will go and release your beast and take him down to water on the Sabbath?" He said, "If a beast falls down a pit, you'll go and pull him out on the Sabbath day." He said, "How much better is a man than a beast?" I love it how the Lord Jesus Christ used to just simply put them in their place. You can see why they hated him, because his arguments were just so plain and so simple. He was able to come back at them. Look at John chapter 7, verse 1. John 7, verse 1. They sought to slay him. Did we read verse 16? I wasn't listening. Yeah, therefore did they persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And then John chapter 7 and verse 1, I wanted to quickly just read those verses. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." I mean, they wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the road. Verse 19, same chapter, verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast the devil. You're demon possessed. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Hello? It was public knowledge. They were out to get Jesus, out to kill him. And so when he says, "I know you've got a plan and a plot to kill me," they said, "Oh, you're demon possessed. There's no such thing going on. You know, you've dreamt that. You've got a big imagination." That's the whole version. Verse 30. "And they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. So think about the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the accusations against the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? You seek to kill me because there's no place in you for my word. That's John chapter 8, verse 37. Look over at John chapter 10, verse 20. John 10 and verse 20. John chapter 10 and verse 20. So if you look at verse 20 here in John chapter 10, many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? So what an insult, where the Son of God, they said, he has a devil and he is mad. He said he was crazy, he's demon possessed. This is the Son of God we're talking about. Well, you know, they mocked him, they made fun of him, they accused him of committing blasphemy, Luke chapter 22. They said in John chapter 7, while you're there, just flip over there quickly. John chapter 7, verse 12. John 7 and verse 12. In John chapter 7, verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. And for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Some said, he is a deceiver. He is deceptive. He's out there trying to deceive people. It's also found in Matthew chapter 27. I won't turn there. They said he committed blasphemy. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 through 3. Matthew chapter 26, verse 65 through 66. While you're in John, have a look at John chapter 10, verse 33. John 10, verse 33. Yes, the rejected Christ. You see how he was acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. Yes, acquainted with grief. It grieved him that they had rejected him, and they would ultimately hang him on a cross. Verse 33, Jesus answered them for a good work. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man, makest thyself God. We're going to kill you because you've committed blasphemy. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said over there in John 6 and verse 36, well, you've seen many things and you haven't believed. And then also, lastly, on this point, John chapter 12. He'd walked around for 3.5 years, doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, making the lame to walk. But there in John chapter 12 and verse 37, it says down here, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The crowd started out believing, and there were many that accepted him and believed in him. You see, the religious leaders begin to throw the doubt upon the Lord Jesus Christ, begin questioning him and making all sorts of accusations and throwing all sense of stupid accusations against him. But the ultimate thing is, when you get down to this, it goes down to choice. In closing this morning, Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. So he started out well. Multitudes followed him. And then even on Palm Sunday, as he was coming in, the crowds gathered and they wanted to crown him as king. The fulfillment of the book of Zechariah, him riding into town on that donkey, and the clothing and palms being strewn in the way and crying out. And then, of course, wasn't long after, they are crying out for his blood. They wanted him crucified. And so the religious leaders and teachers were the ones who fomented all this strife and rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this here in Matthew chapter 27. I want to try and show you something here today that I hope will be relevant to today. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 15. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. So Pilate says that this time we usually release a prisoner. And so Pontius Pilate wanted to release the Lord Jesus Christ and let him go, because he saw in him no fault at all, and he knew that they had delivered him for envy. He also knew that they hated Jesus without a cause. So Pilate was not a man that was stupid. Look at verse 17 there. Verse 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, will ye that I release unto you Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? And then verse 20. See, it says there that he knew for envy they delivered him. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Who was behind this? The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Look at the language there. Release Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years, you know. We go out and we share the gospel with people. We want people to be saved. We want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? They would rather follow a criminal than follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, people would rather look up to some criminal element than to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. So nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Mark chapter 15, verse 11. Mark 15. Have a look at verse 7 first. Mark 15, verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So Barabbas was a murderer, an insurrectionist. He was a thief. Had good character, didn't he? No, he didn't. And of course, verse 11, what does it say? But the chief priests moved the people. There they were again. See, that mob were in there moving the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Well, the world today would still rather follow evil than follow good. And they look up to the criminal element, believe it or not. You only got to see what's going on in our country today. See the people in authority. You see the stuff that's going on, the corruption that goes on in Canberra. I don't know about New South Wales, but up there in Queensland. Man, have a look at John 12 and we're done. John 12. So, you know, they said, away with him, crucify him, give us Barabbas. But look at lastly this morning in John chapter 12. So just think about the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. Think about the fact that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we think on his death, his suffering, his anguish, his resurrection. But also think of the fact that what he put up with, all the insult, all the accusations. John chapter 12, and I like this here, in verse 47 and verse 48. He said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Think about all those who had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ back then during his ministry, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Herodians. Their words are going to come back to haunt them on Judgment Day. They will be judged by this very book here. And the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And I believe the books of the Bible will judge men. And so Jesus said men will be judged by the word of God that has been spoken. And so when you witness to somebody and they blaspheme and they mock and they get loudmouthed and all that, it's going to come back to bite them. It's going to come back to them one day when they stand before the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. And those who condemn the Lord Jesus Christ, those who accused him and insulted him, all of this is going to come back on the day of judgment. It's all going to come from here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. You sent your son into this world. And we read how that he would come and he would be despised and rejected. He would be insulted. He would be abused. And he went through all of this for us. And we're thankful for that. We ask, Lord, you'd help us to have a greater gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we might be that like that leper that came back, Lord, and fall at your feet and say, thank you, Lord, that you've taken a wretched sinner like me, you've cleansed me and made me whole. And if there's one today that does not know you, I pray, Lord, that they would bow the knee and accept you as their Saviour. Have your will and way in the closing moments of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brothers.